Among the most formidable weapons of the medieval battlefield was the crossbow, a deadly device whose rain of bolts could pierce the heaviest of armored ranks and halt the most determined of cavalry charges. Yet, among the many generations which picked up this weapon, none were more renowned than the men of Genoa. Originally born as an urban militia, by the 12th century AD, they had graduated to serve as the professional corps of a powerful seafaring republic. Such was their skill that they soon doubled as elite mercenaries who hired out their ranks to princes, kings, and popes alike. Marching all across Europe and beyond, they earned a fearsome reputation in combat, from the Crusades to the Hundred Years' War and into the Renaissance. The Genoese crossbowmen stood as an immovable bastion of tall shields and cold discipline, whose precise, withering fire could single-handedly turn the tide of battle. Yet, despite their fame and centuries of activity, this unit leaves frustratingly little evidence of their inner workings. Nevertheless, today we will seek to reconstruct the story of their origins, their equipment, training, tactics, and service record. This is the vaunted history of the Genoese crossbowmen.
So I'm happy to announce this video is actually sponsored by a member of the community, Miles Kearsley, who studied the Crusades in university and has produced his own book. So we're actually joined by the author Miles today, which is great. Miles, what can you tell us about the book in your own words?
Thanks, Julian. So I'm really excited to share the book I've been working on for the last 4 years. It's a fictional novel called A Remedy for Mercy. And I think it fits really quite neatly into that Invicta three-way Venn diagram of history, military, and a little bit of fantasy too.
Yep. And that ticks the box, not just for our audiences, but also myself. Those are the types of stories that I love to read, especially when it comes from someone like you who has that deep historical background. So can you tell us a bit more about kind of the world building process or kind of what you put into this? What did you tap into for your sources?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is based on the Crusades, especially the first and the third, although it is set on its own world, which means it's got its own cultures, religions, and geography too. But that's as far as the fantasy element really goes, because in this book, what I've tried to do is blend together as many real-world historical influences as possible. So, for example, you might see armies of Crusader knights, but they might be using tactics like rotating their front ranks, like Roman legionaries, or they might be trying to find the central position, like Napoleon. And that's what I'm really excited for in this book, for readers to just get stuck in and try and spot these historical connections. And if I had to give you a plot hook, I'd say this. A young noble is attacked by bandits. Safety, as well as revenge, lie on the other side of him joining and aggravating the rapidly unraveling holy war.
That's awesome. So yeah, you get the macro trends of history, all the nitty-gritty of that stuff going on, but still a very personal story that carries us along the way. Sounds like my cup of tea. If anyone is interested in getting the book, where can we get it?
Yep, so you can get it on Amazon as a paperback, as an ebook. You can get it on Kindle Unlimited too.
Well, thank you so much, man. I'm super impressed by the work you've done. Putting this out is a work of love and a lot of toil, so congrats.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much to you guys and Victor helping me work on this. I've been watching you for so many years, so it really means a lot to me to be able to sort of contribute something back to the community as well.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
We can begin our tale of the Genoese crossbowmen with the origin of their iconic weapon. The crossbow can trace its roots in the West back to ancient Greek experiments with mechanical shooting devices. As early as the 4th century BC, so-called belly shooters are attested to by our sources. However, for most of antiquity, this technology would be applied as large-scale siege equipment, such as torsion ballistas and catapults, rather than as personal weaponry. By late antiquity, however, artistic evidence in the form of three carved reliefs suggests the handheld crossbow was seeing use as a hunting weapon. While there are potential references to their use in battle in late antique and early medieval warfare, the first truly reliable evidence comes from the Siege of Senlis in 949 AD. From this point on, they appear with increasing frequency across the later 10th century and into the 11th century. For instance, the crossbow was prominent in the Siege of Verdun in 985 and featured in accounts of the Battle of Hastings in 1066 on the Norman side. As use of this new weapon spread, its lethality greatly concerned the papacy, and there were several attempts to limit their use against Christians. But even the fear of God was not enough to overcome the military desire to harness the sheer killing power of the crossbow, and they remained popular throughout the Middle Ages. With the origins of the crossbow now established, let us follow another historical thread to see how it came to be employed so expertly by the men of Genoa. In the Middle Ages, Europe was far more decentralized than it had been in the preceding Roman era. As a result, militaries were of a very different nature. In the place of massive, full-time professional armies paid for by the state, came smaller armies now raised on an as-needed basis from noble vassals and urban militia through methods of social obligation. This was a practical, cheap, and flexible solution for the era. However, over the years, there was an emerging middle ground between the two models, whereby most nobles and city-states employed a small corps of professional troops around which could be added militia and vassal forces. For many polities, such retinues were relatively small. However, large or particularly wealthy domains could muster substantial professional forces. By the end of the 12th century, the city of Genoa would come to join their ranks. This change in fortunes came about thanks to the Crusades. Genoa, among other Italian city-states, had struck deals with the new Kingdom of Jerusalem in the 1100s, offering ships and marines to help the kingdom secure more ports in the eastern Mediterranean. In exchange, the city-states received lucrative trade deals. As the wealth and power of Genoa grew, it was able to afford a marine force with which to secure other ports and further their trade interests. This became a virtuous feedback loop that made the city stronger. Soon, Genoa's merchant fleet dominated commerce in the Mediterranean, and those riches financed an army to match the city's seemingly undefeatable navy. But even as Genoa increasingly bankrolled the professionalization of its military, it may not have been able to afford the standing army it wanted. Units featured a healthy mix of knights, pikemen, spears, freelancers, and other men-at-arms. Yet, funding issues, particularly in times of peace, led to manpower shortages and asset mothballing. This was a dilemma among many professional forces of the age. A solution to the problem was to take up mercenary work. And so the professionals of Genoa began to sell their services abroad. Here we must be careful to note that not all such Genoese mercenaries were crossbowmen. As we mentioned, their city boasted many troop types, which can lead to confusion when our sources remain vague. Adding further to the confusion is the idea that there were also Genoese crossbowmen who were not formally part of the Genoese military. Private individuals with military ambitions and family wealth could raise their own bands of crossbowmen which, if equipped in the Genoese style, and especially if led by a Genoan, were known as Genoese crossbowmen despite no formal affiliation to the city government. A good example of this murkiness comes about with Genoa's involvement in the First Crusade. Here, our sources tell us that the Genoese ships arrived as reinforcements late in the Crusade, yet failed to describe the force in detail, focusing the narrative instead on how their ships were dismantled and the masts used to create the siege tower with which they took Jerusalem. Speculatively, we can assume that because this was a marine force, it likely would have boasted some amount of crossbowmen as a defense against pirates. But again, the details evade us. The picture becomes a bit clearer some 50 years later, when our sources indicate that Genoese ships now carried a substantial complement of crossbowmen as a standard for anti-piracy operations. One line of evidence for this comes to us from the 1143 writings in the annals of Caffaro of Genoa, quote, "In this consulate, a Genoese galley set off to deal with acts of piracy against the Genoese by the Count of Melgael, brother of the Count of Barcelona. And when the Count of Melgael initiated hostilities against the galley, he was killed by one of its crossbowmen. The consuls I have already named sent instructions to the Provenza and secured the capture of Sagittaea from the pirates who were preying on the Genoese and had the pirates' eyes put out." From this service as seaborne marines, it seems the Genoese crossbowmen were increasingly used for ground operations. Again, the exact timeline is hard to pin down. The first land campaign, where the Genoese crossbowmen were undoubtedly present in significant numbers, was the Third Crusade from 1189 to 1192. It was here that King Richard the Lionheart of England and King Philip Augustus of France had decided that the Genoese and Pisans should be used to transport the crusade to the Holy Land, and that marine forces from these cities should join them. By this point, the Genoese were already established as a powerful force, but not uniquely so. After all, the Third Crusade fielded crossbowmen from a variety of places, including Genoa, Pisa, and the military orders, all of which seem to have performed effectively. Over the years, however, the Genoese crossbowmen would increasingly gain a unique reputation for combat effectiveness. This trend shall be covered in greater detail in our later section on their service history. For now, we can take a moment to explain the equipment, organization, and training of these units. When it comes to equipment, this can be broadly broken out into three stages of their history. The early days, when they were with Richard the Lionheart on the Third Crusade. Their heyday, in the lead-up to the Battle of Crecy in the 14th century, and toward the end of their service in the later 15th century. The early crossbowmen of the city of Genoa are difficult to describe with confidence due to a lack of clear contemporary evidence. In terms of defense, it seems that they were not well equipped compared to other soldiers, as archers and crossbowmen are both described as lightly armed in contemporary accounts. They probably wore padded clothes, such as a gambeson, that could protect against lower energy projectiles. They may have worn some metal armor, though comments about their comparatively light armament made this unlikely. We should also note that at this early time, they are not described as carrying shields in accounts of the Third Crusade, and instead relied on the protection of spearmen in front of them. For offense, these soldiers bore a crossbow as well as a dagger and perhaps a short sword. The specific crossbow in question is unclear at this time. One option would have been the stirrup crossbow, which was readily available and in use by other maritime Italian cities of the period. Such light weapons were made primarily of wood, with simple construction that made them quicker and easier to operate. Yet, even still, reloading was an involved affair, which saw users anchor the weapon with one foot through a metal loop at the front while they pulled the drawstring by hand or with a hooked tool worn on the user's belt. Heavier variants were also available, such as the windlass crossbow of the late 12th century, though the time of its adoption across Italy is debated. This was a composite weapon.